So continuing on, we're in verse 41. 41. Hearing this, the 10, that's the other apostles, became indignant with James and John. Okay? They didn't like that. The other apostles heard the mother of Jesus, John, ask, and Jesus probably looked at them, and that's when he said, "Are you able to be baptized?" But this special place, they felt that they should have it. Well, there was three or four occasions where Jesus did things with just the three, Peter, James, and John. The transfiguration was just those three. And they were told not to talk about it until after the resurrection. It was kept from the other apostles. There were a few events when it was just them three there. So they may have thought they were very special. I'm sure Peter got indignant when he heard this. "Oh, James and John, they want the left and right. What about me? I've been of the top three. I've been the spokesman." So they got angry with them and disappointed, which we can understand why. They want special places. And that made the other apostles feel indignant, insulted. And they thought that these James and John thinks we're inferior to them. So you can see why it was provoking them. That would be normal too. And so in verse 42, it said, hearing this, you know, after they heard that. So Jesus calls them to himself. They're walking on the way to Jerusalem and through different areas. And there are other disciples following behind them. And some of the women, because they ministered to him of their goods, the scriptures, they followed in many of the towns. The women came and they brought food and washed their clothes and did things. We'll find, you know, later on the gospel speaks of this. And so they're just not mentioned because they weren't the apostles or they weren't doing special ministry, miracles and signs or anything. And so he says to them, he's talking to the 12 now, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them." Well, that's true. In the world system, governments and powers, the ones higher up that rule, they lord it over. They let people know how powerful they are. They make sure all honor is due them. It's out of pride, the pride of life. This is a part of the pride of life. People, when they use their birth and their providence and their position in life as if they've attained it by themselves, that's the pride of life. And John said in his epistle, he said, if you love the world, that's the system, the love of the Father is not in you. He doesn't look at that. So we see people and even Christians that mix their positions because they were born that way or it was given to them or what. And then people say, well, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. God could have struck you dead any time for your sins. You have nothing to brag about. You ought to be grateful he lets you live. It put him in another position, wouldn't it? So often in the world system, and we know it's true. It's who you know, how much money you have, and they want other people to bow and scrape to them. That's out of pride. Excessive pride in country. Many people are more proud to be American than they are Christian. They're not going to make it into the kingdom. Because the United States, like all nations, are under the power of the devil to a great degree. And God overrides him when he sees fit. But the political and religious systems are under his power. He's the God of this world. He controls much. That's why you don't find many politicians that are real Christians. They have to come. What is the main word for being political? Think about it. It's compromise. And if you're a Christian, you'll have to compromise and you'll not make it into the kingdom because he don't permit it. Christians to compromise, okay? So people are proud of their inheritance. They had nothing to do with it. Their position, their money. They couldn't have gotten to positions if they didn't have money from their parents or inheritance. They were a poor person. They may have been very brilliant, but they may not have the means to get to certain positions. Even the scripture says a poor man's wisdom is despised. See, he may be wise, but people of the world say, well, if he's so wise, how come he's not rich and powerful? That's how. And that's how the prosperity people are false teaching. They think the more money you have and the more prosperous in this world, that's you're more spiritual with God. You're materialistic and covetous. You're on your way to hellfire. That's how God sees it, okay? That's false religion, okay? And we go here all the time, and it's worth going again. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26. For you see your calling. Paul is talking about your Christian calling. He said, not many wise according to the flesh or the world, not many mighty, not many noble, and you can put the rich in there with them. He said, they're not many. And verse 29 tells us why, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, the more powerful a person is in this world, the more affluent, he has to give up more to follow the Lord. He has to go down. He didn't say there weren't any, but he said not many. As Paul said, you who desire to be rich, talking to Christians, you fall into many hurtful lusts that drown men in hell, is what he meant. He said it's not good for most Christians, but some are gifted, and the money doesn't rule them, and they know they're stewards of what God's doing. But most prosperity people want to get rich and give God 10%, and they can live in the world and be happy. I've even had them tell me that when they leave, they pray that God puts his angel and guards my property. The Lord already spoke on the subject. He told them back then, you don't need to lay up treasure on earth where thieves can steal it. He said, you ought to be putting your treasure more in heaven because nobody's going to touch that. Well, that still applies to a great degree, doesn't it? So not many Christians are of the world powerful. But again, he didn't say not any. Moses was one. He was rich and raised as Pharaoh's son. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees when it came to intellect and brilliance under the law. And he counted all that, he said, as dung. It don't count for nothing, is what he said. Isn't that interesting? So not many of those type of people will be Christians that have authority and rule in the world. It will cost them more in earthly things to get spiritual things. Even Mary, when she met Elizabeth and she went to see her, and she was already 6 months pregnant. And Mary went, because the angel told her that your cousin, that Elizabeth, she's pregnant, and he will be a messenger. So when she comes to the house, she's coming there to stay. She stayed 3 months, which means she stayed until John the Baptist was born and helped Elizabeth. That's what it meant. But when she greets her, she gives us a prophecy. Both of them do. She magnifies the Lord, and part of her word says, and the Lord has lifted up the humble and the poor, and he sent the rich away empty. She's prophesying. That's how God does it. He sends them away empty because they come to him, but they don't want to give up anything. They were like the priests that came to John the Baptist. They wanted the be known that I've been baptized by John, because everybody thought he was a prophet. But they hadn't changed their wickedness. And he called them snakes and vipers. And he said, go away. He said, come back when you show some fruits of your repentance. So they couldn't give up their positions. They couldn't repent. Because we're all wicked, and they would have been thrown out by their other leaders. They knew that. That's why Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they were secretly believing who Jesus was, but they couldn't openly. You think God accepted that? No. They felt a little guilty, and one of them gave him his own tomb, and they went to Pilate and asked for his body. But it said they were secret. Well, it said at one time many of the priests believed in him, but for fear. They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. So they counted the cost and they couldn't pay it, okay? So political, religious, it brings a certain amount of fame. But those people will be cast in the lake of fire for all eternity. See, that's the price that they pay. So if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, like Jesus said, what does it profit him? And that's what many of these people tried to do. And the Antichrist will do that and rule the world for 3.5 years. And he'll be the first with the false prophet to be cast into the lake of fire. Everybody else is in heaven or hell. Evidently, the lake of fire is going to be worse. Revelation says, death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. The final. This is the second death, he said. Okay, so he tells them about the people of the world, how they love positions and power over other people and their pride. They want to be honored and so forth. So in 43, he says, but this is not the way among you. Well, that nullifies all of popery and cardinals and bishops. And the Protestants are just as bad. They have their own system. You have to bow down and scrape to get certain positions. You have to compromise. That's the world, because it runs most of the churches. The devil is the master god of this world. Most so-called Christian ministers are ministers of the devil. Most of them don't even know it. But they're compromisers, okay? They're good and political. So he said what? This is not going to be among you like that. And whoever wants to become great among you shall be your servant, okay? He makes it very plain, okay? In the kingdom of God, that position don't count. Peter was not a pope. Even he, when a man, Cornelius, tried to bow down because God's sinning, he said, I'm a man just like you. So all this kissing of the feet and bowing and scraping is the devil moving in these people. It's pride. Oh, I know. And then the Pope goes around at certain times, Easter, and he washes people's feet. Well, you know, these 10 and 12 people or whoever, they will, other priests and people wash their feet real good because they don't want the Pope touching a nasty foot. You see their hypocrisy? You don't see them going into a poor area where people are filthy and dirty and washing their feet now, do you? They give themselves away. So the body of Christ, the true church, those gifted with higher authority and gifts, they're given that to serve the people, not basically to be served, okay? No place to gain these things for the flesh or the pride of life. Well, we see that often in many ways, huh? There are no mega stars, mega churches. There are no famous people with God. See, man puts those positions. Who is highly esteemed among men, like he said, is an abomination to the Lord. Even among Christians, there will be some when we enter heaven, God help us. The people we thought were very spiritual and great, they're going to be the least. And people we never knew. Maybe up there near the right and left hand in the kingdom. See, God evaluates everything. He knows a person's ability, gifts. He knows their stewardship. He knows what it requires of them. See, people judge, they don't judge right. Even Samuel, when he was told to go get me a king, anoint one of Jesse's 7 sons, 7 or 8, I forget who it was, but the first 3 went before Samuel, and they were great soldiers. Samuel, now he's a prophet of God. He sees more than anybody else does in the world. He says, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God reproved him and said, God judges not by man's appearance. Who did he pick? He picked the last one that was probably 17 or 18, who was a shepherd boy. It shocked them, shocked everybody. His brothers, they were a little shocked, but that's the one God chose. At that time, he was a man after God's own heart. We don't hear that later on in his life when he failed in sin several times. But in the beginning, he was in a right, good state with the Lord. And that's why the Lord helped choose him too, okay? So they're no megastars, okay? It's nothing in the flesh that appeals to God. It is God who gives spiritual life. Even among the Christians, they bragged about leading people to the Lord and getting them saved. And what did Paul say? He said, one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. He said, they are nothing. He means the natural flesh, the natural man is nothing. If God didn't give an increase, they're wasted. He used them. They're his stewards. No credit is to go to them. It's to go to God. He's the one that gives the increase. So any spiritual results of teachers and evangelists, they take it to themselves. They steal the glory of God and they will not make it into the kingdom. They will be judged as idolatrous for robbing God of his glory, for taking credit. It's one thing to say, oh, I don't have nothing to do with it. That's false humility. But we can say we do this by the Lord. We're the Lord's vessel, but we got the treasure inside of us. Without him, we can do nothing. And Paul said, and through Christ, we can do all things. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful to give him honor and glory where it's due. We don't have to have false humility. Oh, I've heard, oh, I haven't done that. Well, somebody's doing something. Either you're a liar or the Lord's using you. So don't use false humility. That's a form of pride. People like that, they don't make it into the kingdom. See, they're like the world, okay? They use Christianity to get glory for themselves. That's what they're doing, okay? So what we do by his grace and gifts, it cannot be for self-interest, for self-elevation, for self-profit. Well, look at all the megastars. They make millions. They profit off what they're doing. There was one evangelist years ago, and I won't mention his name, and he did a lot of had a lot of followers. But he got in trouble by the government, and they charged him with embezzlement and stuff, other things. He took money without explaining it through his board members and stuff. And when they confronted him with it, he said, well, I didn't take more than a tithe. That's my duty. But a tithe is not forced. And you don't take it by people without them knowing. That's robbery. See, he didn't see himself as, I deserve this because I've done so much of the kingdom. That's how he looked at it. Well, his kingdom was a false Christianity, materialistic and covetous. But in his eyes, he was a servant of God, and I deserve this. Well, it don't work that way. They'll find out. And that's why we say there'll be baby Christians, novices, and Christians who have failed and lost much and missed God's best. But they'll be saved by fire. But they'll be last in the kingdom. He even talked about beginners and novices teaching a wrong scripture, not explaining it. Jesus said something interesting. He said that those who know the word of God and teach it wrong, he said, they shall be least in the kingdom of God. It means they'll make it somehow because they repent, they're holy, and they try to live right. They're just not mature, and they do a lot of things fleshly. He wasn't talking about false teachers because they're going to hell, like the hypocritical Pharisees. They willingly know what they're doing, or they've given themselves to a lying spirit, okay? So in verse 44, and whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be the slave of all. That word's mentioned, people don't like hearing that in our modern society. God said people are his slaves. Paul said if you're free, 20%, remember, of the Christians were slaves, Roman slaves. He said you're free before the Lord. God's providence regulates you. He wants you not to be a slave. Christians had slaves And Christians had Christian slaves. And Paul didn't say get free. He didn't tell the slaves to run away. He told them to serve your master as you do the Lord. And then he told the masters, you treat your slaves right, because God is a master also. He wanted them, but he didn't fight against that. People think that's modern theology. It's not in the scripture. Uh-huh. See, they don't like that. So Paul said, we're slaves. Uh-huh. Now in Galatians, when God's going after those Judaizers and those who have gone back to the law, he says, you make yourself a slave of men. You've been free from that. You're a son of God now, a child. And then later on, he said, you're slaves to the Lord. We're not free. When a person's saved from the world, he's saved to the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you were consecrated as a firstborn or as a priest, you were sanctified, separated from what is ordinary. And then you're cleansed. They anointed their ear, right thumb, and right toe with blood, and then they put oil on it to anoint it for the ministry. So you're set apart, sanctified, and made holy or right. And then you're consecrated. They weren't separated. You're dedicated to the Lord. So it means you're given to the Lord. So if the Lord frees you from your sins and you come out of the world and you repent, you're not free to do as you please. You don't have that kind of liberty. You're bought with the price, the blood of Christ. You belong to him now. You were a slave of Satan. Now you're a slave of God. Oh, you may be a son. That's true. But when it comes to duty, you're a slave. And if you don't obey in duty, you will not make it into the kingdom of God. Okay? See, they don't like that part. So if one wishes to be great spiritually, he has to be a servant, a slave, a bondservant for the body of Christ. What is that scripture to Paul warn people? In honor, preferring one another. He's talking to Christians. You don't elevate yourself above them. Your gifts may be higher in authority, but you know better. And God don't see you as being, he sees you being gifted and you're going to answer for more. So if you are given certain gifts and ministries, you're going to answer for that as a steward. It's nothing to brag about. You better be faithful to that. So what we find is in mankind, in our great religions, you know, like Catholicism, a false form of Christianity, there's no popery, cardinals, bishops. That's a false Christianity. There's no bowing and kissing hands and feet and demanding honor. That's no better than the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. They were hypocrites. The Sadducees were a sect. It was about 100 years before Christ, and they became deists. They didn't believe in God, really, in revelation, and resurrection. And they believed life was in this world. Therefore, they could be thieves and do things they did because they were going to have to answer for it. They didn't believe in angels or spirits. They didn't believe in a resurrection. And the Pharisees were scrupulous about rules and regulations, and where Moses only gave about 50, by the time Jesus comes along, there's 600. They washed the outer cup, and Jesus said, but you're dead man's bone. They appear to be religious. He called them hypocrites. Them and the scribes the same way. They twist the word of God for their own traditions. Well, they still do that. So they're deceived liars and they're hypocrites. So he says in verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, okay, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, okay? If he did that, what do you think he expects of his followers? We can honor people, double honor, because they teach the word of God and they are a spiritual authority, but they don't rule over people. They don't make other Christians their slaves and servants. Now, Paul did say there were those like Timothy and Titus, they gave themselves as servants to the ministry of Paul. It wasn't just Paul. It was because of his ministry. They were serving a greater ministry. There's helps and mercies. Those are ministries. People who think they can't do anything as a Christian, well, God said to the one with man talent, you buried your talent. You shouldn't have done that because God expects some fruitfulness. He said, least you should have done was given that talent to the bankers. And when I come back, I would have had my talent and interest. And that would have got him saved. He says, you're a wicked, lazy servant. And he cast them into outer darkness. See, so there's no excuse. See, a lot of people I know, because they told me years ago, one woman was indignant because she didn't get a position she wanted in a church. And she told me, if I can't be a tablecloth, I'm not going to be a dish rag. And I said, well, you don't know much about Christianity. See, a lot of religious people are, if they can't be the best, then they don't want to do anything. Well, they're going to be cast into outer darkness. You have a duty to God to do what he puts you in and do your best where you're at. And if you can't do great things, then you give and support forgiving and mercies other people's ministries and hospitalities. We're called to do that. So there are no excuses. We live before the Lord and we do our ministries. And even in the sevenfold, what they call motivation gifts, prophecy, teaching, and so forth, giving, showing mercy. We do them, it says, according to the grace and the faith given. So some people are given greater ministry and teaching, some lesser, but they're given it in measure. And that's what the, and he said, let's walk according to the faith that we have. So don't try to exercise faith in something that you haven't been called for. That's called presumption. It'll get you nowhere. People say, I'm going to step out by faith. They try to move a mountain and have never moved an anthill. There's love levels and giftings, and we only move. And as we become mature with the Lord, we understand our limits and what's required of us. And we don't try to usurp someone else's position. And if people want to grasp it, let them have it. If God wanted you there, he'd keep you there. And if they're not worthy, he'll withdraw a teacher and not let them teach as a punishment. He'll send them a lying spirit. So we got to be careful. Let's go ahead and we will stop here at verse 45. Lord, give us wisdom, practical wisdom and understanding and how to live our Christian life and ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.